Good morning, everyone. Today we are reading 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Let me read it for us. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. If there's one thing I want us to really keep in mind when we read this passage is this, this sentence here. Suffering transforms us. Suffering transforms us. It changes us, and really it makes us more like Christ. What suffering does is it forces us to focus. Because when we're in that place of suffering, right, if there is pain that we're experiencing and such, it's hard to really think about anything outside of that, right? If you are hurting really bad from something, like you injure yourself, it's hard to think about, you know, other things. It's hard to think about the possibility of sinning in that moment because all you're thinking about is, ow, this hurts. And when we suffer for Christ, something similar happens. We get this tunnel vision, but the tunnel vision instead is on Jesus, because we realize that we're suffering for him, and it just causes us to be even more laser focused on him. A suffering Christian is one who probably isn't really even thinking about sin. They are just focused on Jesus and just bearing through it. And so in this passage that we just read, Peter is saying, arm yourselves with this mindset. And what's that mindset? That suffering is good. That really there is power through your suffering. We receive power as we suffer. And what's that power? It's power to overcome sin. It's power to overcome the sin in our lives. I know that this first verse here we read can be kind of confusing when you read it at face value. It says, "Forever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." And it's easy to think to ourselves, wait a second, you know, maybe I've suffered before, but I think I still sin, right? I know there's been times where I think I've suffered, not obviously that much, but there's been times where I face various suffering for being a Christian or persecution of such. And but I know I still commit sin. I'm not fully redeemed yet. And so what is Peter saying here? I think we got to just like drill down a little bit deeper into what this verse here is saying. When he says has ceased from sin, this is the verb actually in the original language is more of like a passive in the sense of like we don't stop our sin, but we are freed from sin. So we are freed. It's a passive. It's a passive sense. So we didn't stop sinning basically on our own volition, but we were freed from sin. And actually the word sin here is a singular noun. And oftentimes in the Bible, when we see the singular noun form of sin, it's speaking of sin in an abstract sense, not like specifically, like you stopped sinning from lying, you stopped sinning from, you know, getting mad at your roommate or something like that. No, this is, we're freed from sin in this abstract sense. We still commit sins, obviously, like we still commit specific sins at times, but we are forgiven and no longer under the power or punishment of sin. And really what I think this is saying is it's about the direction of our lives. When we have suffered for Christ and we set our hearts on Jesus, we've ceased from being under the power of sin. And instead now the direction of our lives is not towards sin, but it's towards, as verse 2 says, the will of God. You know, because it says, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, you know, for sin, but for the will of God. And that's what happens when we suffer, really, that focuses ourselves on Jesus, and it's redemptive in our lives. It changes us, transforms us. As I said in the beginning, suffering transforms us. But now, and now, our lives are focused on God's will and not our own passions, not on sin. And so that's what I think it means when it says we've ceased from sin. We're no longer under the power of sin, but our lives now are focused on God's will. Obviously, again, we'll still sin at times in specific ways, but we are forever forgiven. Sin no longer has a hold on us because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And really, what happens when we start living for God's will and not for our own passions, the world is surprised, as it says in verse 4. Like, you know, with respect to this, like, the world is surprised when we do not join them in the sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. They're surprised about that because they expect you to want to pursue your own pleasure. That's what people do, right? If I want something, I go and do something. If I want something, I go and get something. You know, it's like we most of humankind, unfortunately, live in this sort of this stimulus, and we react. Like, there's a stimulus and we react to it. And that's not what Jesus wants for us. He doesn't want us to just be reacting toward like what we want and our desires. He wants us to live for his will. But again, the world is surprised when we do that. It just reminds me when I first became a Christian. Like, I didn't become a Christian until my sophomore year of college. So my freshman year of college, I lived that normal college life. I was going to parties and all those sorts of things. And I had these friends and we did it together. And then the next year, my sophomore year, announced to them, hey, I'm a Christian now. And they're like, wait, what? So you're not going to come like out drinking with us anymore? And I was like, nope. And they were surprised. It really surprised them. And in fact, as it says in verse 4, that they will malign, the world will malign you. They ridiculed me in a sense. They made fun of me for it. They didn't understand. And so that's what happens when we start living our lives for Jesus. You know, through the suffering, and the suffering just focuses on Jesus. We start living for him. The direction of our lives changes. And again, people will be surprised. I just want to also touch quickly upon this last verse, because it can be kind of confusing. It says, for this is why the gospel is preached even to those who are dead. Sometimes people wonder, like, oh, are we supposed to be preaching, like, to dead people, to, like, bodies? No, that's not what it's saying. We're not supposed to go to like a burial ground and start preaching to dead bodies. What this passage is really saying is that those who have died, like, people were preached the gospel but may have died, right, by this point. And the Christians are confused, though. They're like, wait, if you believed in Jesus, aren't you supposed to receive eternal life? So how did you die? But what Peter is sort of hinting at here is that even when you die, you will live again. Right, like, he's kind of alluding to the resurrection. Though they're judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. And so just because you died, you know, doesn't mean that you are disqualified from the gospel. Because a lot of them thought that Jesus was going to return like right away. They were expecting the kingdom to come in their lifetime. And so when people died, like, oh no, you're going to miss out. But he's saying no, like, it wasn't in vain that the gospel is preached to those who have now died. They will live again in the resurrection. And that's the hope we have. We have a hope of eternal life. And that's why we suffer, because we know that this is not the end of the story. We have eternal life with Jesus. We will be resurrected and made like him. We will live with him in glory forever and ever. And so the suffering we face now is nothing in comparison to that glory that we will one day enter into. And so the question to ask ourselves is, what direction are we living our lives? Are we living in the direction of the world, of our passions and our desires, just reacting to all the stimulus that we encounter? Or are we living for the will of God? That's a good question to ask ourselves as we go about our day. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word. Thank you that we, God, suffer not just pointlessly, but we suffer so that we can be changed and transformed. And Lord, when we do face suffering, I pray that we would not lose heart, but we know that, Lord, it is you working within us, changing us, God, because we want to be a people who live according to your will and not according to the passions of this world, Lord. And suffering is just a powerful way for us to shift our thinking and to shift the direction of our lives, Lord God. So help us this day, even, Lord, to live for your will and not for our own passions and desires, Lord. We want to glorify you in our bodies, Lord. We thank you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.